Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 58 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Zachar, the Remembering One, Part 4. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
So, Lord Jesus, we ask and pray that today that we will remember your word. We will remember what you've put in our hearts and our minds. I pray, oh God, that we would learn and you teach us today how to magnify our memory, that it might magnify you and that it might make the memory larger than it really is, but in a real-time moment, which is now. So be with us, oh God. Stir us with the power of your Spirit. Let it carry over in our preaching with our pastor, that you might be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, today in Lesson 58 of Unlocking the Prophetic, I guess if it was a book, it would be Unlocking the Prophetic. If it was a, to have a, a table of contents, I would call it Shifting Atmospheres, and the title of this chapter, though, would be When Heaven and Earth Collide. So there is an idea in the prophetic. The prophetic is like trying to, that's the reason the prophetic is the opposite of soothsaying. Soothsaying predicts future. Prophetic remembers past to speak into future. It's the opposite move. But in the remembering, and I am trying to put into words, I hope y'all don't get too tired of my terminology of remembering at this part of the prophetic, but it's what makes it work. It's the key that makes it work. And even when God was creating the earth and everything, he remembered that it was in his heart. He had thought of it before the foundations of the earth, and then he brought it forward, and that's what turned it into a reality. So when heaven and earth collide, you got to remember that that's already happened in the heart of God. That's where people get hung up on and they don't understand predestination. Yeah, it's predestined, but it's based on because of the foreknowledge of God. It was before the foundations of the earth. But this, I want us to think today on this atmosphere of heaven and earth colliding. Now, just a couple slides here to get our train of thought where we want it to be this morning. There is a deficit of happy on the earth. Anybody noticed? There is a deficit of happy. And if anyone should be happy, would you not think it would be God's people who know truth? And we have everything to look forward to. I mean, our future gets brighter and brighter. It gets better and better. It's not to say a few things along the way, and it might not be challenging, but those challenges help us to move forward. And so, in trying to achieve happy, we want to understand what it means to come alive, to be alive. There is more life to be experienced than what you're feeling right now. Does anybody believe that? There's more life to be experienced. And am I saying we got to walk around happy all the time? No, I'm not. But let's at least start off with a good 5 or 10%. What do you think? And not a 1 or 2%. Let's at least shoot a little low, 5-10% of our life. We're going to walk around happy. But we at least need to, in a week's time, need to be able to experience happy once or twice, surely, lest we end up depressed and down. Now, when you got to understand, happy is an emotion that is looked forward out of hope. It's a fulfillment. When you start losing hope, you start losing happy. I'll get into that a little more. As a seed awakens, y'all have heard me say this, to awaken means that a seed awakens. It's in the earth. It's in darkness. But it feels heat. It feels heat. When you feel God, that's the reason I tell people, you can feel God. You can feel His heat. You can feel that when I pray for people, I put my hands, I don't touch them. And the reason I do that is I want to see if the heat of God comes or not, if you can feel it or not. So you can feel the presence and the power of God. But once a plant emerges through the heat, or the soil's heated in it, and then it's watered, which is by the Spirit. It's heat from the sun, watered by the Spirit. Then it sprouts, or it starts to grow, and it pushes through. It has to push through the darkness of that soil. Now just consider that the seed is in the first heaven, the soil is second heaven, and the light of God where God is the third heaven. So the seed has to push, you got to go through two to get to three, right? So if a seed's one and the soil's two and the atmosphere is three where the sunlight is, the seed has to sprout and grow, but it has to push through two to get to three. The seed can't jump out of one into three. So usually those that's been through the most and have pushed through, are you hearing me? Are the stronger plant. So your past does not disqualify you. Doesn't qualify you. Just makes you strong to push through the heat. But I wish we could go around second heaven. I wish we could go around having to push through to get to the light. If you came to church this morning to hear this Bible teaching, you had to push through something to get here. I know that. Why? This is a spiritual encounter, spiritual move. So you have to push through to get here. Why do so many people not want together now? It's because they just can't push through to do it. Of course, I understand some can't. Now, therefore, he says, and this is the scripture in Ephesians, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So the idea is we're pushing through to get to the light. The seed I have taught you has to remember who it is. For the power, we reach the remembering for the power that is needed for the now. The prophetic reaches into remembering for the power to speak into the now. And I think y'all are probably getting that pretty well, right? So that is very, very important. Now, I've taught you this to Zachar. When God said in the beginning, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you in always in remembrance, this was Peter, of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Zachar means what? The remembering one. So God created man, the remembering one, in his image. So, there is a part of you that doesn't get born again, but it's in the DNA of your creation. Doesn't need born again. It needs healed. It's another part of you that needs born again. God has to heal your memory and your soul's born again. Why? Because you were created in the image of God. So you have this capability to remember. That's the reason God did not want Adam and Eve to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because he knew you would remember it all. He didn't want us to remember some things, even though they were out there. So we find ourselves in this dilemma of being smarty pants. And we partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we still do it today. And we create these memories. Now, can you see why it's important? Just to have knowledge of truth doesn't mean it's divine unless it's been healed by the power of God. You didn't know this, did you? Some truth needs healing. Come on, Zay Carson, stay with me. Some truth needs healing. The truth is, you said something to somebody this week that you shouldn't have said. That's true. But that truth is not a truth that I'd want to market for people to live their life by. Right? So that truth needs healed. Are you with me? So a truth needs to go through a process before it's marketed. Okay? So we have this thing inside of us as I just want the truth, I just want the truth, I just want the truth, thinking that we've ended up at a destination that we have to go no further. If you can't handle the truth, don't ask the question. That's right. Because when you get the truth, you're responsible. You are now responsible with that truth. Even though some truth needs healing, lest the truth brings death and not life. That's right. Are you with me? You're created in the image of God. You're created to remember. So we find that the frontier that the Apostle Paul tries to lead us into is this of the understanding of the thoughts to hold captive what's going on in here. Why? Because we are the remembering ones. We are the remembering ones. God is the remembering one. We're created in His image. Now, so we see here Peter was wanting to stir up these things. Yeah, I think it meant as long as I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So we see here that in the remembering, a remembering can lay dormant. Or it can be stirred up. It just so happens we like to stir up bad memories instead of good ones. Why? Can somebody tell me why? I don't know why. It's just that you won't believe what he did to me this week. But our normal behavior should be, you're not going to believe what God and I did this week. That should be normal. Not what somebody did to you this week. You say, well, they did it on purpose, and I've said this to you before. Forgive them on purpose.
There you go.
Right? We bring a conclusion to the truth. The truth is, I want you to catch the prophetic concept. The truth is this. You deserve hell.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't care if you believe in it or not, you still deserve it. I know it's a thing going on now. Some people don't believe in it. The only reason they don't believe in it is because they ain't never been there. Trust me. When they get there, they're going to believe in it.
Wow.
So, just because, right, we're all destined for hell. That's the truth. But God completed that truth with the cross of Christ to bring a happy to that truth. Are you there?
Yes.
So how do you get happy? You bring happy to a truth. Is how you get happy. I'm not going to go there lest I get happy. Now, here is a reminder to remember, and I did talk this one, I think it was last week, is memorials. You remember that one? These stones are to be a reminder of their personal experiences, what they saw, heard, and felt. So we built up a memorial. They went across the Jordan, going into the promised land. Israel did. They took a stone out of the river, put it on the other side. One of the 12 tribes each took a stone, put it there as a memorial to remember how God got them there. The power of you moving forward is for you to remember how God got you here.
Amen. That's good.
That's the way it works now.
That's a good story.
You tell your story, keep a clear memory of what God did for you. What kind of memorials do you have in your life? Now, here comes the memory. You got good memories, you got bad memories. We tend to build memorials to how wrong we have been done. You can build a memorial to that memory. My suggestion is you take all those 12 stones and throw those back into the lake.
Amen.
That memory does not need a memorial. If you're going to give it one, wait till you bring it to completion. If the cross of Christ brought your destiny, that you deserve hell, to completion, do not think that it won't bring every other truth to completion. You feel it? The biggie is your salvation, where you're going to spend eternity. Well, if it'll cure that one, it'll cure everything below that. It's the oil that one thing cures all. The cross of Christ brings happy to every truth. Now, we have memories that have turned into memorials, and I went over that one, both good and bad. Now, why do we forget the Lord? We don't forget the Lord because we have bad memories. We forget the Lord because of a slow spiritual decline of not practicing remembrance. It's important. That's the reason you have a memorial, is to practice a remembrance. That's why we forget the Lord. Now remember this. The seed awakens when it remembers who it is. So when the heat, the water, the Spirit hits the seed, it is to... Now, here's what God's asking you to remember. Do you believe that when Jesus came into your heart and life that you have a spiritual seed planted in you? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Now, the seed doesn't have to know how to sprout. It just sprouts and grows. That's the reason in Christianity... Your life is not to be legislated by rules and regulations. The way Christianity works is, I taught this last week, is you clear off the ground and then the seed will grow. It's built in that spiritual seed. The DNA of Christ is already in you. Just let it grow. Well, how does the seed of Christ grow in me? It needs water and it needs light. It needs the Holy Spirit and it needs His Word. The spiritual seed's in you. But it might not be to a place of maturity yet. So it's not going to bring a harvest in your life yet because you're not letting it get watered and receive light. All of these truths are true. All of them are in the seed of Christ that's in you. But it does not mean you're reaping the benefits of it if you're staying immature.
Right.
You come in here to receive light, water the Spirit. We worship to encounter Spirit. It's very important. You say, I don't like worship. I'm just waiting on the Word. Duh. I'm giving you the explanation of that. You got to have water and you got to have the Word. Now, you can be watered here in the Word. I understand that. But God's given us two ways to do that, worship and the Word. Now, we want us to remember our stories. Just believe in your story and His stories. I'm going to move fast here. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. There again, they're remembering. The psalmist here is, I will remember. Your life is a story being written. I said last week, I think everybody has a different fingerprint. Everybody has a different story. Your story is part of the spiritual matrix of the planet Earth that you find yourself now. You're not here just to pass time. You're here to fail and to recover. That's right. You're here on planet Earth to fail. Well, if you don't believe it, look at your life. I think everybody's up to speed. What do you think? I think we've got that one covered. We're here to fail, and we're here to be restored. Let me let you in on a secret. Nobody fails any worse or any better than anybody else. If you jump off a cliff slowly or quickly, the end result is the same. So it is with things of the Spirit. We're here to fail and we're here to recover. So the issue of being here is not to create your memory off of your failure, even though it's included, but to remember you've recovered.
Right.
We're in constant recovery. We're maintaining recovery.
Amen.
Of our failures. You see, when we recover, it's not that we did it right. Recovery doesn't mean I failed, but now I did it right, so now I've recovered. That's not recovery. We fail. We repent unto God. God, I failed. And because of His grace, it makes it like I did it right. But true repentance means it's not that I now do it right, but it just means I'm not going to do it wrong. Anybody get it? You see, you're just trying to clear off the ground. The DNA's done here. All you got to do is grow. I promise you that a corn plant, when it's that high, when it's 3 inches high, when it's 5 foot high, I guarantee you, you can go up to that corn plant if you're another corn plant and say, how did you get there? And he'll say, I don't know. Why? It was in the DNA. It was in the seed. So as you grow in Christ, just get watered in sunlight. I've said this before. When you don't know how you got to where you are, God got you there.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the reason we can't market how to be a Christian. Nobody knows how they got there. Why are you going to follow somebody who don't know how you got there? We're just going to have to follow a person, is all I know. His name's Jesus. I'm telling you, the Christian life's easier than you think. Just quit trying to fix yourself. Just clear off the ground, let yourself grow. You can't get spiritual gifts, the operation of the Spirit, because you've now learned how. It just comes. It's just there. Because something's growing. Because it's in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I hadn't even got to my introduction's too long. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry. In the same way, let your light shine. This is what is in Matthew, before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. So we're letting our light. So once that you grow and you mature, then you give off life. You must say it again, for God wants to do it again. That's from our memory. The dark side wants you to forget your story. That's right. And only remember when you fail or fall and not when you are redeemed. Revelation, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony or story. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. It says here that they overcame Him by the word of their what? The word of their what? If you're in a hard time right now, you just remember what God has done for you. I can't pray the booger off of you. But your testimony, it happens within you. The spiritual operations inside of you. When you remember what God's done for you, you just tell the devil, yeah, but I remember when God did this, 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 and because I remembered, He's going to do it again. Watch this, booger. God's going to do it again. Why? Because you remembered. Now remember this. The reason you remember is because your faith is found in your memory. You want to exercise faith? You remember. It gets stirred up. And when it gets stirred up, it becomes active. Are you with me? Let me show you how God stirs up. I'm getting off my thing here. When you stir in my milk tank at the milk barn, it's got a motor, it's got a big old paddle in there. It turns around like this. It keeps the butter and the milk from separating. So to stir that milk up, you call that paddle in that motor an agitator. It agitates it. Anybody been agitated lately? Oh. Well, I didn't know that was God trying to stir me up. Say, Alan, I got her. So agitation. I told Richard this morning, we were talking, and probably where this came from. And I told him about my Christian life was really just a life of agitation from God. I don't have a lot of love, joy, peace. I kind of go from agitation to agitation to agitation. I know what's happening. God stirred me up every time. If I'd ever get it, I could probably go into more happy. That was totally free and has nothing to do with what I'm teaching. Now, I hope it was for somebody. The enemy is not after you, it's after your stuff. The enemy is not after your stuff. The enemy is after your mind. It's in 2 Corinthians here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into what? Captivity every what? Thought. To what? The obedience of Christ. Why is he saying this? Because the mind, the memory, the remembering ones is where the battleground is. You can say, well, Alan, I failed in this place, I failed at this place, and I failed at this place. These are bad remembrances for me. The answer. I'm not suggesting this to you. It's the answer. Those memories must be taken to the cross of Christ. They have to be. You say, God, I failed at it. It's okay. Well, I mean, it's just the way it is. You don't go get it right. God's grace, because we just repent, God, I don't know what I did wrong. Don't even know what I did wrong, but it's just wrong. That's my memory. That's my remember. I know it's true. That's the truth. So the truth is this. God, I failed, and I ask and pray for your forgiveness. I'm sorry. I repent. Well, it doesn't mean you're going to go do it right. It means God's grace puts you in a position just like you did it right. That should make you happy. How do you know that you've truly taken something to the cross? It's because in the end, you're happy. That's how you know. Now, so it's the thought, so the obedience. Your testimony that he's speaking here in Revelation is a prophecy. And you know this verse here, we read it, the testimony of Jesus here. What I've got underlined, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of what? Now, how many people in here want to be prophetic? I'm teaching you the ways of the prophetic. The way you're prophetic is you have a testimony of Jesus. What's the testimony of Jesus? It's the things that God has done in your life. So as you give testimony to the things that God's done in your life, it's the gift of prophecy. What does prophecy do? Prophecy allows somebody's future to be changed. That's what it does. I'm giving you the spiritual science, I call it, the dynamics of how this thing works. Now, let's move on. The testimony is a spiritual crossroad. This is where heaven hits earth. It's a real phenomena. It's real. Did I say it was real? It's real.
It is real.
It is real. Now, look here in Exodus. There above the covering between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Testimony, I will meet with you. Now, you know that the Ark of the Covenant, Jews carried around in the wilderness, carried it into the Promised Land, carried it all around. It's called, you've heard of the Ark of the Covenant, right? It's also been called, this name also was the Ark of the Testament. So, the New Testament means what? A New Testament, a testament, a covenant. A testament is a testimony. So when you read the New Testimony, and that New Testimony is in here, and you give somebody the testimony of God, you've just went from Logos to Rhema. From Logos, the written, to Rhema, the Spirit. There's a place somewhere out here that Logos turns into Rhema. When Logos, we want to learn Logos, but we are the processors that make it real. Somebody can be laying over their dead, and I can throw that book and hit them upside the head, and didn't mean they're going to come back to life. Or I can lift their head up and put it under there. But when we know what the logo says, we can go pray for them. It turns into Rhema. Rhema is where heaven hits the earth. You see, God makes your testimony, He empowers it by Spirit. So if you give God's testimony or if you give your testimony, God's the one who empowers each. There's real power in it. It's the reason somebody can come up here and give a testimony of what God done for them, and you'll cry your eyes out. What's going on? They just said words. It's when they tell that testimony, Logos turns into Rhema. When Rhema gets to flying out there, it can hit a heart anywhere. As believers and as Christians, we are spiritual processors of the Logos into Rhema. If you have the idea, the reason you want to know Logos is so it makes your life better, you've got the wrong idea. I'm going to get into this now. In Exodus, it said this, put the altar in front of this curtain that is before the Ark of the Testimony, before the atonement cover that is over the testimony where I will meet with you. So you've got the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony that they carried around. God said, I'm going to meet with you on top of that Ark of the Covenant. We know, I think I got a picture of it here. Can you kind of see that? That's kind of a picture of the Ark of the Covenant, what was inside of it. You had these angels on top. But what would happen is the presence of God would come out of heaven. It would come down. They'd see it come through the tent. It'd come down and it'd hit right on top of that Ark of the Covenant or Ark of the Testimony. Is everybody with me? Now here's what's happening. God's power came on that Ark of the Testimony. They could see it. Matter of fact, the priests, they put a rope around their leg and have bells on their garments so they could hear if they're still alive or not. If they got knocked plumb out with the power coming in, they'd get that rope and they'd jerk them out. That's right. Because what was in heaven came to the earth. It's a true spiritual phenomena. Now, if you've had that in your life, you remember when it happened.
Yep. That's right.
And it changed you.
That's right.
And you don't know how you got there.
Yep.
All of a sudden, you're just crazy for Jesus.
Yep.
Everybody else looks at you like, well, you'll settle down and be like the rest of us shortly. But you have this encounter. Spirit hits the word that's in you. Turns into Rhema. Can't keep your blame mouth shut. You tell everybody about Jesus. Now, have you got that? All right, let's move on now. Remember that just because you can't see something does not mean it's not real. Remember, we are what it takes. We are what makes it real. Remember Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. So when I remember of what God did, faith arises. I have faith. You see, you're not having faith. If you want a new car from God, let me put it this way. If you want a new car from God, don't go out there and pick you up out a new car. Say, God, I remember when you gave me a car. Anybody with me here? I remember, God, when you provided me a way to get to work. God, might have been with somebody else. Might not even been a car. But God, I remember when you took care of this problem for me. I remember it. All right. That stirs up in your faith that's in your heart. You can't see it. But your faith is stirred up. You think back, and it plays it forward. Say, Alan, I got it. Yeah, now listen, if I come in next Sunday and five or six of us driving new cars, I'm going to fall over out of the spirit right here. All right. Faith is creating future memories. Now, when God speaks, now as we're going from Logos to Rhema, and I don't have but a few minutes here, I probably can't get through it, but I'm going to do some of it. Is that all right? Y'all with me? When God speaks, what is going on when we have the Logos in us? Are you up to speed with me on why we repent and stuff? You're just cleaning off the ground. We're cleaning out our hearts and stuff so that this divine seed can grow. And the truth is, you have no idea what you're going to look like when you grow up in the Spirit. You don't know. You have no idea. So, when God speaks, He's speaking to that divine seed. Now, follow with me. I'm going to kind of do this like God's speaking here, so kind of watch this with me. This is God speaking. I can just imagine God saying, I'd like to say something. Yeah, Alan, I got it. Your remembrance is a place of preserving the words, which is logos and rhema, of God. Your remembrance is to remember this, and to remember your story that God has created in your life. Now in Isaiah, it says this. Now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for time to come forever and ever. Here in Isaiah, the words were written. But they were written for how long? How long? Forever and ever. It's forever and ever eternity. So, have you already started in eternity? Eternity has begun. You're not waiting till you die to start experiencing eternity. Eternity has begun. Well, if eternity has begun, I've had people say, well, Alan, when I leave here, none of this counts. I guess it does, because eternity's already begun. Well, if this doesn't count in eternity, if this does count in eternity, then it must have some value. Lest God would have eternity start later. But eternity's already started. So, therefore, what's happening now has everything to do with what's happening in eternity. When you were born again, did that change you any way eternally? It has begun. Eternity has begun. Now, God's words have been preserved through many centuries. So, we have the written word. Isaiah, God said, I want you to write it down. I want you to do all these things so that it will be preserved forever and ever. So God, therefore, is using His people, every one, as spiritual vaults to preserve His Word. Logos and Rhema. Consider your life, who you are. God is writing into your eternity. What I'm asking you to consider is get all the words in you can. Rhema and Logos. Jesus. Run after it full time. I told you I had years of my life, I put a Bible in my pillow. Probably didn't do any good, but I thought if there's something, I don't have to understand it, God, if it needs to somehow pour in there, pour in, I don't know. Get all of it in you that you can. Because it has everything to do with eternity. Now, you've already accepted Christ, so your eternal destination has already changed. But now you're writing its future. And for some reason, God's created us in His image to be the remembering ones. Why? Because He's going to restore His written word and His rhema word in you and me. Wow. Y'all, does anybody get that? So we find ourselves as these storage vaults for the Word of God. Logos and Rhema. And also we're dispensaries for the words of God. So God's been preserving it. God's, the very fact that you've got it now is proof to you that God preserved it until you. So therefore, could you be a part in preserving God's word that you're going to pass on to somebody else? I'm not saying when you die, I mean from now on. You got to understand something. When the Logos and Rhema is in you and you dispense it outward, if you could see it in the Spirit, it'd be like an echo. Jesus loves you, 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 you. forever and ever. It goes on. It doesn't stop. It's eternal. The Logos and Rhema Word of God that you're carrying around is huge. It's big stuff. When you give that testimony of God's Rhema and Logos, when you give that testimony, God's power comes down on it. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? Is anybody excited yet? If you're not excited yet, you're not getting it. The Word, the presence of God comes down on His testimony and your testimony. You ever heard anybody giving a true heartfelt testimony and they can't even get through it?
Yeah.
Anybody seen that? You ever tried it? Well, let me tell you what God, bigger man, let me tell you what God did for me. God, and you never hear the end of it. Why? The presence of God falls on His testimony. And you know what else? He didn't need to say no more. You got it. What'd you get? You got something you couldn't see and didn't even hear it, but you got it. Spiritual transference, what happened? Already, this is what all it did. Power of God fell on the testimony. It's not if you can sing real good or talk real good. It's not none of that. It's that you're obedient to the testimony and the power of God falls on the testimony. And when you do that, it's preserving the Word in others. Can anybody feel what I'm saying? Now, we don't have but a few minutes. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall do what? Now, do you believe that or not? If you're carrying Logos and Rhema, and you dispense it, it's the words of God. You're giving your testimony, and you're giving His testimony. You're not giving your ideas. Did anybody catch that? You're not giving out how smart you are. Did anybody catch that? You're not giving out how spiritual you are. Did anybody catch that? You're giving your testimony of what God did for you. That has nothing to, you are not in there anywhere except you're the failed one that God saved. Your best day, Paul says, is filthy rags. That's what he's talking about. You're not in there. God didn't do nothing through you. He did something because of you. People think they're more spiritual than somebody else. Somebody needs to grow up. It's not you. Never was, never has been. It's God. It's because of His grace and mercy. You never grow beyond that. There's nowhere to go beyond that in the Spirit. Now, the earliest writing materials were stones. This is interesting. Exodus. The Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mountain there, and I will give thee tables of stone, a law, commandments, which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. So here he was. God had him teaching it. So going through the memory. And he gave it to Moses when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Here we see that God wrote with His finger into these stones. I want to go to here, and I'm going to have to probably stop here, but there's a whole lot more to come if you want to hear it. From stones to memory. God wrote it on stones. God wrote it on stones. God's first thing He wrote was His Ten Commandments. God's laws were Ten Commandments. God's laws means God's requirements, right? That's what a law is. It's a requirement. God wrote His requirements for man. Man couldn't keep them. Man couldn't keep them. So since man couldn't keep them, God told Moses and them to do these sacrifices. You pour this blood on top of that altar. Then His power came down on the altar. Are you with me? You see, God's power doesn't come on you pride. God's power comes only on what His blood covers. Anybody got that one? God's power falls on what His blood covers. Now, so God had those stones. God had His requirements. He knew we couldn't keep them. God's message was Ten Commandments. Y'all heard me say this. So, God had to do something. God's love for you and me was greater than His own message. Anybody with me? I don't care what you say about this book, about your testimony. If you want to be in the power of the Spirit, your love for who you're telling that story to better be greater than your own message. If your love is greater than what you're getting ready to tell, the people wanted to debate Scripture. Why debate Scripture? Why? I mean, why? I told a feed salesman here, he come by and he said, wanting to sell me all this. He'll make you cow's milk and all this. I got all this computer and got all these printouts and all this stuff. And I took it and I said, okay, we'll try a little something. He said, you want to keep all this paper? I said, I don't need them. We said, well, yeah, you need to do it. So I said, I don't need them. I said, the cows will tell me the truth. I don't have to understand all that. Cows tell you the truth. Listen, I don't have to understand all you're saying, all your theology and all that. Only thing I can tell you, your love will tell me the truth. Your love will tell you the truth. God's love totally captured the whole thing. Now, from stones to memories, let me just do a little and I'm going to stop. Hebrews 8:10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their what? Mind. And write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a... The remembering ones. The remembering ones. The remembering ones. How do we know that we're a child of God and God's our God? It's because we remember. We have to rely on our own intellect when we don't remember. We have to rely on our pride or how smart we think we are if we don't remember. Humility can only be found in remembering what God has done. Let's stand. Well, Lord Jesus, we love You. And Lord, You know our deal. I hope and pray that I've said something that's of You. If anything that I've said is not of You, oh God, I'm trusting it'll fall to the ground, have no meaning. These people will just overlook it. But if anything I've said is of You and of the power of Your Spirit, I pray, oh God, it'll be like the sword of the Spirit. It'll split us in two, that we might receive Your truth and Your word and Your love, Your joy, and Your peace. Lord, I make a prophetic declaration over this congregation that we'll be known as a people of happy. We'll be known as a people of happy. Of happy. Of great joy. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.